Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 27th on the West Coast, January the 28th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. Mountain Zone will follow in an hour. Well, many of you probably had a chance to listen to the State of the Union address by the long-legged Mac Daddy, and I certainly didn't want to listen to it, although I was urged to listen to it on the heels of some developing news, and there was an allusion to a possible cryptic message for some visitors that we have on a regular basis, and of course the cryptic message was not in there whatsoever, although there were a lot of cryptic messages going on, certainly not much truth. This claim that there are only 10% of the people are without jobs is being beaten again. The original drum skin that played that tune has since fallen by the wayside, has been taken to the dump, the city dump, and still they're trying to play that song. Mind you, to 440 hertz and not 528, the frequency of love. I got a rush, or I should say both a rush and a rash of email, especially video, describing the financial situation in a lot of the world. And I haven't changed my take on what's going on in Haiti. This is a coup. This is an attempt to take over that country and take control of the drug industry, which I understand from talking to several people that have been in that region very recently to say that it was out of control. And so when I say take control, someone wants to funnel the profits in a particular direction, obviously to fund projects that have suffered from a lack of funding. How is it that a president of a corporation, and in this case I'm speaking about the corporation, the United States of America, the implied charitable trust, which is of a foreign nature, how is it that such a corporation can be bankrupt since 1933 and it be experiencing a change, an uplift, a positive change in its status in a fiat money system? It's impossible. So those statements are really misleading. They're actually lies, to be honest with you. Anyone who studied the nature of the banking system, the central banks, the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Treasury, and who's running it, knows that it's nothing but a bunch of money laundering and hypothecated funding that is shifting wealth. Although it's fictitious wealth, it's an illusion. It's being converted into assets which are being stolen from the American public, real estate. There's actually a piece that I'd like to play, and I may play it tomorrow evening, on the condition of Detroit, but it's a video piece. That, looking at it, it looks like Detroit was hit by an earthquake. In fact, you could look at Detroit and think you were looking at pictures of Haiti, other than you might recognize some of the buildings there, the automotive manufacturing plants that are shut down and already suffering as if they were mothballed, graffiti on the buildings totally collapsed. I mean, literally, it looks like Detroit has been through an earthquake. Of course, a HARP earthquake, not a natural earthquake. Or, in this case, a Federal Reserve, U.S. Treasury Wall Street earthquake. Now, I found something rather interesting, and before we bring on tonight's guest, I want to play something related to the person who gave this speech. This is quite interesting because this supports much of my research in the Three Stooges Go to Washington, particularly the section on the long-legged Mac Daddy, parts 3 through 7b. And I'm going to play just a portion of this. The whole thing is very interesting. This is Pastor James David Manning from Otlaw Worldwide Church. And this is in New York, by the way.
A court date for conspiracy to commit treason, giving aid and comfort to the enemy, selling false products, misrepresentation, false and larcenous misrepresentation, deceiving and deceit of the community, and supporting treasonous acts over a protracted period of time. Charges that I am leveling against the university or the educational institution called Columbia University here in New York City. And the trial date has been set for the 14th of May, and the indictment has already been handed down. And let me just go over with you now why these charges are relevant charges. Columbia University in the 1980s sold a Bachelor of Science in Political Science major degree to one Barry Shatoro, now known as Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama. They sold to him under the influence of Saudi Arabian money, being aided by Charles Rangel, Percy Sutton, and Dr. Khalid al-Mansour, who was the go-between and the carrier of the funds to Columbia University to admit into a program and offer a degree to Barry Shatoro, now known as Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, and did so without him having to attend any classes, without him having to write any papers, pass any exams. And we need to review whether or not he took an examination in order to enter into Columbia University. But it can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, never, and I repeat, never attended Columbia University. Indeed, what he did do during the years that it would have taken him to complete a political science degree, what he did do was he traveled to Pakistan and entered into an Al-Qaeda terror training camp where he trained there for 2 years in Afghanistan and in Pakistan, long before any of us knew anything about Al-Qaeda or about his terror intents towards America. Obama was participating in that process to cover him, to give him a history, such as where was he at on the night of June the 14th. Obama has been given cover and a history from Columbia University, who states that he entered in 1980 or 1981, and exited in 1983, but he has never been seen by any of Columbia's students within that realm going back to the early 70s or into the mid-80s. No one ever saw, no student of the 4 to 10,000 students that Obama should have had contact with, never saw him, never had any interaction with him. No professors ever remember him. Yet Columbia put his name down on the graduation manifesto as a political science major, degreed in political science in the 1983 graduation exercises. Well, we here at the Manning Report intend to prove that Columbia sold that degree, and we want to appeal to all Columbia alumnus and all members and men of well-meaning worldwide. First of all, we want to inform everybody that Columbia now sells, or Colombia is now marketing toilet paper. Their degrees that they issue are nothing more than toilet paper. You can buy them from Colombia. You don't have to do the academics like Barack Hussein Obama. If you got enough money, you can buy a toilet paper degree from the Columbia University. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a background about myself. I attended Union Theological Seminary the exact same years that Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, should have gone.
Okay, I'm going to pause that right now. That was Pastor James David Manning on his broadcast, The Manning Report, heard Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at his website, atlah.org. That's ATLAH.org. And I felt that that was pertinent. He's actually using a prop there. He's got 3 1,000 sheet rolls of Scott tissue, bathroom tissue, sitting on his desk next to the microphone. What a prop. The significance of these comments coincides with my research, where there's an alleged photograph of Barack Hussein Obama wearing his 1992 wedding ring in 1983, wearing six-toned black trousers and a black leather jacket. Of course, the trousers are pieced together using the Photoshop program, and when you adjust the exposure, the contrast, and the gamma drive of the picture, you can see it looks like hippie pants that were constructed by somebody on drugs, obviously, and in dire need of their reading glasses, because just changing the exposure reveals the abnormal nature of the trousers he's wearing, because his image was photoshopped onto a park bench, allegedly in what is called Central Park South. Now, at the time this picture would have been taken, with his wedding ring in the picture, it's impossible for his alleged grandfather to be there, other than that he, along with the grandmother, Madeline Dunham, and I'm speaking of Stanley Armour Dunham and Madeline Dunham, were both obviously intelligence agents. And now we have further proof coming out, at least the accusation, and Pastor Manning wouldn't make this accusation unless he had quite a bit of evidence to back up what he's claiming. But I concur with his findings. I've stated that. This is the person that gave the State of the Union address. Consider that when you consider what was said during this address. Now, I want to thank Ken in South Carolina. I believe it's South Carolina. It might be North Carolina, for sending this. I apologize, Ken, if I got it wrong. I'm going to change that and say I think he's in North Carolina. We have listeners and readers of our websites out there who are doing the research and networking, and I appreciate that and acknowledge that. With that, I'd like to bring a great researcher, a web host, and journalist of great esteem, we'll say. He's also a metaphysical scientist and a regular guest on Evident Footprints. He's been on many other shows, including Dr. H. U. Watts, The Story Behind the Story. He's also appeared with Dr. Rebecca Carley, talking about many of the things that are going on in the medical community, many of the frauds that are being perpetrated on the people. And we haven't really planned anything, but I think this is, in light of current events, this would be something that he'd probably sink his teeth into tonight. Our good friend, Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you so much. Pleasure to be on with you again.
I hope you got to hear Pastor Manning's comments there.
Yes, I did. And it was wonderful to hear what he did have to say. I didn't know what audio clip you were going to play, but that was very It was very heartening to hear that. Glad to see that he's getting out there with this issue. he will undoubtedly be dismissed by whoever in the mainstream or, you know, the semi-alternative news world reports on it. Most people, of course, won't report on it, but it will be discussed on the internet, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And
now, that came out on the 10th of January. It was actually posted.
Okay.
So I'm presuming it was from that broadcast on the 10th of January. I haven't had the time to listen to Dr. Manning on the basis of how much radio I've been doing myself.
Yes.
and the research and work on the website and all this stuff.
Yep.
But you see, our listeners come through again. They're out there doing the job that we've asked them to do to help us. We can't do it all ourselves, and we never said we could. I'm very appreciative of the heads up on this message, and it makes me want to go back and review some of the other broadcasts that Pastor Manning has done. He's been on this show one time, and was quite an interesting interview. I was hoping to have him speak more, but I was sharing a lot of my research with him.
Yes.
And more people are still reading the research and coming to the conclusion that that I was on point with a lot of things. Since that research came out, and we're talking about within a year or so of that research, there have been over 450 students of Columbia University interviewed, and none of them recall ever seeing Barack Hussein Obama there on the campus or attending any classes.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And what I was about to say is that whatever hearing or publicity he gets in any certainly any mainstream outlet, which will probably won't cover the story at all, but they'll be very dismissive of it, because the bulk of people in this country are simply unaware of the greater greater reality that is surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a member of that fraternity for most of my life, so I'm not putting anybody down.
Yeah,
but it is remarkable though how long it takes, considering the availability of information via the internet, how long it takes a large percentage of the public to catch on. For those who are interested in looking, a lot of people have no desire to look because they're too preoccupied with their lives, and that's okay. That's not a criticism either, because if it wasn't for people, frankly, who lead ordinary lives, who are completely uninvolved with conspiracy subjects, you know, who are full-time dedicated artists, performers, musicians, academics, maybe involved in some intense area of research that means a great deal to them, or people who are building wealth, let's say, someone who's focused on starting up a company and shepherding a company or a new business. You usually don't have any interest in this stuff because, A, you don't have any time for it. You're totally immersed in your world, which is ordinary. So you're just hearing the talk about Obama being not being a natural born American citizen. You're just hearing it here and there in little quick sound bites, and you're just not paying attention to it deeply. And of course, because of the way the mainstream treats it, as you know, with derision, with ridicule, with mockery, that you know, average person who's engaged in his own life and not paying attention at all, as I had done for many years. You know, when I was younger, I was more involved in the work that I was doing at the time, and trying to build up a business and so forth. So I just heard it on the fringes, you know, from TV news, from radio news, but I wasn't paying close attention. I had a general idea of what the cover story was, let's say for most major news events, but as I've told you on many occasions in the past, I didn't have a clue about the New World Order agenda until I finally read Bill Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse, which was either 94 or early 95, somewhere in there. Prior to that, I had no idea. So, however, though, once I started to catch on, and then you find yourself reading other books that are in the same vein, and in time, I started to realize quite quickly the world is not what I thought it was. And we are moving rapidly. The New World Order gang is moving much more at an accelerated pace from what anything they have done in the past. They're making huge, enormous blunders in this process. The care that they might have put into, let's say, covering up crime, covering up assassinations, etc., was far more meticulous in past decades than it is now. When you consider how many dead bodies piled up around Clinton during his 8 years of his presidency, I forget the number, but I think by the time he left office, the so-called Clinton body count was easily over 270 people who were mysteriously suicided, accidentally died in robberies, inexplicable accidents that resulted in the death, and they just all happened to have some part of the story about Bill Clinton's extracurricular background activities, and they all wind up dead. If you recall, when the Waco event happened, which I think was April of 94, the siege of Waco, some years later, I can't remember exactly, it's around somewhere between 98 and 2000, they finally had a trial based on the idea that the government had done a number of wrong things. Well, by the time the trial actually took place, the key witnesses who would have testified against the government were all eliminated. They, again, suicided, mysterious murders, deaths, accidents, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the, there was a number of people who would have been very powerful witnesses against the government who were killed. But one guy that really stands out was this man who was an expert in what was called FLIR videography. If you recall, there was video taken of one of the many helicopters, again, whether it was FBI or BATF or whoever was in the, I think it was the FBI, I'm not sure, whoever claimed to be the operator of the helicopter, it was videotaped. And an analysis of that videotape, looking at its, I believe its infrared component, revealed rockets being fired from the helicopter into the Waco compound. I mean, obviously a direct assault by the government against those people when they were claiming that they were, you know, just surveilling and they were trying to ensure their safety, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that fellow was prepared to testify. It took a great deal of courage for him to be willing to do that. I mean, this guy really, he knew what he was up against. And they eliminated him. They simply killed the man. So he never could testify. I remember there was a sheriff too who had witnessed things that were very condemning against the government. He too was eliminated. So when they finally had the trial, I recall hearing the outcome on the radio. I wasn't following it closely. I'm just recalling what I heard on the radio. And the final, you know, the jury decided that, no, the government played no role in any way in contributing to the deaths of those people, and that everything they did was reasonable and above board, and no, there was no... The truth is very much the opposite. So a peripheral listener, someone who's just paying attention on the fringes like I did for many, many years when I was younger, is hearing that story. So they kind of assume that, well, the government isn't as a straight shooter as I would like them to be, but still, this conspiracy stuff, oh my God, give me a break. You know, this is off the wall. Obama's not a U.S. citizen? Come on, these birther nuts. And this is what you get. You get a large percentage of the public who's in that very outer periphery of the news stream, and they're just hearing these sound bites, these buzzwords, these phrases designed to disparage and to dismiss genuine facts gatherers and researchers who really do have the honest-to-goodness story. And they dismiss them with terms like conspiracy theorist, as you mentioned many times in many shows, a word that undoubtedly was created by Tavistock, birthers.
Mm-hmm.
All the terms.
Truthers, birthers, yeah, they come up with these terms.
Right. These, you know, we just hear them in the news, you know, Fox News or something will start throwing it around. But where do they actually come from? They are created by Tavistock because they're carefully chosen, in fact, to subliminally signal to that periphery, you know, news listener, the one I'm talking about, who's not really paying attention,
yeah,
to subliminally send the message of, oh, this... discount this, discredit this.
Well, yeah, insult. It's intended to insult the people that are telling the truth.
Well,
what is wrong with us talking about the truth or revealing the truth?
Right, but that is the tactic. It is a tactic. It's ridicule, it's mockery, and the government has been using it, well, since Roswell, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
All those poor people in that area, those ranchers and so forth, who were just trying to do what they... you know, assume was the right thing. The government comes to them and they said, yeah, this is what I saw. And what does the government and their military goons do? They browbeat these person. They intimidate them. They cow them into saying, no, you didn't see that. That was just swamp gas. And,
yeah.
And they just, you know, make it very clear to them without perhaps even putting a gun to their head, that there's only one story they're going to, you know, repeat, and that's, oh, it must have been swamp gas. No, I must have been mistaken. So naturally, that's what happened. All those poor folks in the late 40s, early 50s who were seeing genuine sightings were all browbeaten into submission.
Yeah. Ken, I hate to interrupt you. We have a call here. I guess someone has a question regarding Pastor Manning, and maybe a broadcast date or something. Caller, would you identify yourself and state your question?
Yes, Don. This is Gary from Arkansas. How are you and Ken tonight?
I'm great, Gary. How are you?
I always enjoy listening to you and Ken chat back and forth. I wanted to go back into the Manning report and find out what date that was so I could archive it on my computer.
Okay, that was posted. I think I did mention that after I played it, but I'll repeat it. Maybe you didn't catch that.
Okay.
On the page, I'll give you the actual link if you want to go there, and you can find it. Just type in atlah.org,
yeah,
/, then Atla Worldwide, all one word,
uh-huh,
/, ? Lowercase letter P ? 4236. And that'll take you right to the page where that archive is. It was posted on the 10th of January this year.
10th 10 January is when it was posted?
Yes.
Okay, I can probably find it for that. I might mention that I heard an awfully interesting program on Jeff Rentz with Lorraine Monet, who disclosed that these HARP sites worldwide are in areas where there are huge mineral and oil deposits,
mm-hmm.
and that the Arecibo supposedly radio telescope, which is that's what I've heard it was all these years, is actually a HARP site, and she has high suspicions that was used in the quake down in Haiti. So you might want to go back into Jeff's program and listen to that. That thing was quite interesting, and I will continue listening to this interesting program.
Well, thank you for your call, and enjoy the audio clip and the video, actually. You got to see the props.
I will. I got to send it to my brother because he was an Obama fan.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Thank you very much, and good night, gentlemen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Gary. Yeah, he brings up an interesting point because you can merely Google HARP or HARP Towers, and you'll get the whole planet-wide grid on a map. It'll show a picture of the Earth and showing all the different locations. And there is one such tower there in the that very region there. Arecibo being Puerto Rico, you know, that region. It's there. You can see it on the map. I might add another point here too, Ken, not to divert you off of that topic that you were discussing. The belief, you know, we'll present some facts here, and this is going to stretch the belief paradigm for sure. The United Galactic Federation has brought a 575th planet into the Federation, and the planet is named Arithmedoc, and this planet, I'm told, is very technical, very advanced, and a very spiritual planet. It's a shame to think that we could have been that number. Of course, many, many things would have to change on this planet, as General Jeremiah has alluded on several shows, one which you even heard. You were a guest on that show and got to ask him some questions. The findings of Haiti coincide with what we're saying. They know that there was technology used underground as well as above ground. And the underground being explosions. I had intimated even to the listeners that I sensed that there were some underwater explosions. There are underground bases in that area. And there's a lot of hanky-panky going on there. So we must look at who pulls the strings when we consider these events. This is a coup. Many people have written about that. Steve Lindman wrote quite a good article on that very topic. Dr. Brooks Agnew, who has a show on BBS Radio, also has done a number of videos where he's describing how this HARP technology works, how they bounce the frequencies off the ionosphere, and they reflect back as ELF waves, or extremely low frequency waves, and how they can be targeted. So let's call a spade a spade. This is what it is. It's a false flag event. It's a coup. It's a takeover of the central bank of Haiti. It has much to do with the drug trafficking going on in that country and where the proceeds go. This would be a cash cow for the CIA and their black ops. And despite what anyone wants to think about what we're saying, there's plenty of evidence to show that there's a history behind that. So I turn it back to you.
Okay, thank you. I would like to continue with the with this theme, though, of believability, or let's say understanding the greater reality that is taking place, in which a large part of the country is either unaware of or marginalizes it or is dismissive of it. Now, you mentioned the possibility of HAARP technology being used with Haiti. Now, last night on KPFK, which is one of the five Pacifica stations, there's a nighttime program that, if I'm up late, in my desire to find some talk radio, you know, I listen to NPR quite a bit, but I get tired of the propaganda, and I'm thirsting for something a little bit more honest.
Is this after Evident Footprints?
Oh, definitely. This is like okay. three in the morning. Anyway, there's the regular Tuesday night show. Gary Null is typically the host, and he's usually on 4 or 5 hours from approximately 1 to 5, or from even midnight to 5. It depends. Sometimes he's just on the last 2 hours, perhaps 3 to 5, but he's very typically on Tuesday. And I've been listening to Gary Null for many years. I began to listen to him on the East Coast. I believe in the late 70s is when I first started to hear him. I heard him throughout the 80s. He had a regular show there. And since coming here to California in the mid-90s, I've picked him up over KPFK. And I very much like and admire Gary Null because, first and foremost, he's a honest person. And he is not carrying water for any vested interest groups, for the most part. He's an intelligent man, and he digs in to and finds out the facts. And he's been very much a muckraker for decades now. So I very much like Gary and his recent efforts to try to point out the dangers of the swine flu vaccination and all vaccinations is very important because we really needed voices like him to come out when they started this insane swine flu poisoning operation, which really kicked into high gear, you know, in fall of last year. And I devoted a lot of time and space on my website because obviously I'm very concerned about the number of people who were injured and or died as a result of taking that that poison. And because the media was cooperating so lustfully with the liars in government and the pharmaceutical industry ripoff artists and the prostitutes on television like Dr. Nancy Snyderman of NBC News, telling us, you will get your damn vaccine, folks, and similar trite garbage like that. A lot of people were panicked into taking that vaccine, and many of them didn't survive to talk about it. And others who did survive went through all the symptoms of swine flu, what they're calling a swine flu. To me, why you would take a vaccine and then come down with the very pathogen that you're vaccinating against makes no sense to me, but millions of people did it. I don't know what, you know, where their brains are, because if they really looked into the long history of problems with vaccinations, they would know that no vaccines are safe, not a one of them. And they're all a mistake, and none of them provide the protection and shielding of against diseases that they're touted to provide. But these latest vaccines, however, though, are loaded with a lot of goodies that really have a lot to do with damaging and compromising your immune system, your neurological system, as people like Desiree Jennings found out, and your endocrine system. There's many systems of the body that are compromised by vaccinations. Some of those problems show up immediately. Others show up after a number of years. And we know that cancer is one of those problems that can show up after a number of years, and And now with the latest batch of poisons, we know a lot of young girls, young women, are going to have a great deal of trouble conceiving children because their reproductive system has been adversely affected by these poisons. So the public at large needs to wake up more. And I'm using the example of Gary Noel because he gave a wonderful talk last night. He went into great detail about the history of Haiti and how those people have been abused by elites going back a few hundred years. The French, of course, they had to pay a huge price for the crime of liberating themselves from slavery. So they've paid this huge debt off that they didn't finally finish paying on it until 1947. I guess they were paying for 100 years or so, perhaps a bit more. And, of course, it impoverished the country. If all your wealth is going to go to that, then you can't very well build a country. And so he did a really great job. But the caller called in and mentioned Hugo Chavez's statement that the Haiti earthquake might have been caused with HAARP technology. And Gary, bless his heart, dismissed it as being nonsense. And it's not the end of the world. Gary does wonderful things in a lot of areas, but he's of a, let's say, a strata of American populace who are not willing or don't invest the time to examine the evidence of people who, let's say, have tried with very limited resources. Essentially, you have a computer and access to the internet and maybe some books, but beyond that, there's not a great deal of resources to try to overcome the mountain, the river of propaganda spewed at us daily over AM, FM radio, as well as television. And so, you know, when it first came to light, this is the year prior to the primary. This is when Barack Obama jumped into the primary for the Democratic candidate position. And it was very early in that first year. This is just at the beginning that doubts began to arise as to where was he born in this whole business of this phony certificate of birth that his people put up on his website. It just didn't cut the mustard. And I posted something very early in that regard, early in 2007, I believe was the date. And I wasn't the first, but I was, you know, within a month or two of the, let's say, the first blogs that were starting to put this information up. But this was before Rents, for instance, put anything on his site at all about it. And then you and I, of course, became acquainted in 2007, and we started to, one of the topics we looked at was, you know, his background. And we found out, after time goes by, and we analyzing photographs, etc., that the official story of his background and his birth is full of holes. And anyone who takes the time to investigate the stories, particularly that you've written about.
I took a year and a half.
Exactly.
To investigate.
If they merely take the time to read your very lengthy articles included within your series called The Three Stooges Go to Washington, very long articles, I mean, considerable length, each one, some longer than others, but all of them, you know, substantial amount of reading. And what I like to do is I like to print stuff out and staple it together and read it off computer so I can do it, you know, I can concentrate better in that environment. And I can go out, you know, I can take a walk and read while I'm walking, et cetera. I prefer to read that way. It's I absorb more. So if you look at the evidence, instead of just allowing the sound bites or you know, weasel mouth like Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity.
Well, those aren't evidence at all. They're declarations.
Right, they're declarations and they're little sound bites, and they're always couched in a despairing, disparaging phrase.
Mm-hmm.
This is the nature of these people. They never really examine the statements. They don't any way examine the data, because if they did seriously and in a fair, balanced way, you have to realize, you have to come to the conclusion that, wait a minute, oh my God, there is no evidence this guy was born in Hawaii.
If they were honest in their job.
Of course, but they're propagandists.
Yes.
And they're
yes.
paid a great deal of money. Rush Limbaugh's gets $44-45 million a year to bump his gums 3 hours each morning on AM stations across this country. This man is a propagandist. I'm amused by a lot of the things I hear from him. I hear another guy on ABC radio, which is, ABC is a flagship propaganda outlet as much as NPR is. ABC News is the mainstream Illuminati propaganda network outlet. So naturally, all their AM talk radio hosts are going to be firmly in their camp. And you got another guy who, he says a lot of things that I find amusing during afternoon talk radio, Mark Levin.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of accurate things about Obama's programs. It is communism. His, you know, the health care, his, you know, takeover of, or the socialization, let's say, of all our institutions. This is leading us into communism.
Mm-hmm.
And people simply, a lot of people in this country don't really understand what communism is.
Yeah.
They probably heard the word and they assume it's not a good system because we were, United States was opposed to communist Russia and communist China, et cetera, but they don't really know the reality of what a communist system is.
Yeah. Now, if I can make a comment, you know, in light of the fact that Obama's popularity percentage points have plummeted drastically,
yeah.
this speech was a pep talk designed to somehow say, okay, look, we're not going to make the people suffer. They've already assigned this debt to us, you see. Let's not forget that that's what's been done.
Yes.
Are they giving the homes back to all those people that were foreclosed upon illegally through the illegal transfer of the titles, the property titles, to foreign banks like Deutsche Bank in the thousands per portfolio?
Yeah.
To be leveraged against derivatives and hedge funds, which are totally illegal and being run by the government. These politicians that were standing up, giving him a standing ovation, cheering, some of them with a concerned look on their face, knowing you could read the body language that there's a major financial investigation going on worldwide. The Chinese have placed a $47 trillion lien on the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. And they're talking about giving money, giving tax credits. What is a tax credit? You know, when you take credit out with a financial institution, you have to pay that back.
Yes.
So we have more of the Bush talk, even though he's blaming all of this on Bush, which we knew and was predicted before he even went on the air to deliver this misrepresentation of fact called the State of the Union address. The pundits even said, well, you know, you're going to hear him blame all of this on Bush. He was as much a part of this as Bush.
Of course.
This money laundering didn't start when he ran for the office. It's been there for years. It's been in place for over 100 years. That's in the Three Stooges Go to Washington. How that came about, who was involved in it, where the names of the alleged relatives is even explained. And it's not an accident that these people were connected to Chicago, even over 100 years ago. So the proof is there in and of itself. We don't have to be emotional about it. It's proof. And the fact that these stories are designed to muddy the water, whitewash, or divert the attention away from the corruption, although we're dealing with a bankrupt government. Where are they getting this money? Where are they going to get the money to give to the people to get the loans? Well, they say it's a tax credit. You're going to be paying for it somehow. They make the statement, well, a student shouldn't go to college and go into debt. But the system set it up that they do go into debt.
Oh, absolutely. There, as you pointed out, there is no reason for college tuition to be as high as it is. There's another game going on.
There's an insurance game going on, and there are derivatives and hedge funds based on that insurance.
I remember might have been as long as 2 years ago, you had an excellent series of interviews with Carl Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed this up very astutely, how there's this game going on with schools, universities, et cetera. There is no justified, legitimate reason for the price to be that high, you know, to have to take out a $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 loan to go to college. There's definitely a big time scam going on. Well, anyway, I just wanted to keep on with the theme of the people of this nation need to come up to speed more quickly, because the process is so slow, and as a result of just awakening slowly, inch by inch, the advancements in the takeover agenda are accelerating faster than, you know, the folks are catching on. So while there's always, you know, let's say new enlightenment coming daily, because there's the perpetrators of this takeover scheme are really getting sloppy. I mean, this recent thing with the Supreme Court is the best example I could think of. Now, when I was a kid and we went to school, et cetera, when the subject of the Supreme Court came, you know, they talked about the three branches of government, the halos that our textbooks, our teachers, the lecturers, et cetera, that they put around these nine black-robed individuals called Supreme Court justices was simply amazing. And certainly as a young person, you know, even going through, you know, beyond high school, I didn't for a minute doubt that these guys were of the highest caliber, the finest, you know, choice among the judiciary, you know, the finest minds. That's the assumption that we're given. That's what we're taught. And it's far from true. There are nine, well, they used to be men, all men, but there are nine people with black robes on. And they have as much intelligence, integrity, and honesty as they have. And the fact that we're calling them a Supreme Court judge doesn't change those attributes of their personality or their character by one iota. So you can just as easily have a corrupt individual wearing that black robe and being feted by the press and, yeah, yes, Your Honor, and Chief Justice so-and-so, and oh, isn't it wonderful? And he can be as corrupt as they come.
Well,
so naturally...
You know, what it brings to mind, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
I was going to say it... I could draw an analogy to the corporate-sponsored auto repair chains that say, okay, you get a customer in here to buy new tires, do an inspection, the free inspection, find an axle replacement on the front end, or suggest that they replace the exhaust system or the catalytic converter. Even when it doesn't need it, you see, okay. And in fact, this put the in general the suffering automotive repair industry in dire straits when companies like Sears were the the recipients of a sting operation by 60 Minutes or, you know, these news magazines. Yes. And I'll give them credit for exposing that. But that was almost gratuitous, just to make us think that the media was really doing its job.
You're absolutely right, Don. That's a very valid point, that these are, you know, what I call soft exposés. They do it on AM radio all the time to try to appear that, you know, they have some show that's supposed to be investigative, this, or television. I see it on Japanese TV as well. They have these shows that's supposed to be investigative. It's always an easy, low-level, very low-level crime, you know, in which it's easy to entrap the person or to bug them or to tape them or to surveil them. I mean, it's a piece of cake, you know. And they tout this as if they're really doing something of great value to protect societies from these criminals. And yet the incredible amount of corruption and crime taking place all around us by government officials is unprecedented, and yet never a word about it in the media, unless the guy gets out of line with the Illuminati, and then they arrange for an expose, Elliot Spitzer type of, you know, comings out.
Yeah.
They've got the goods on every single politician in the Senate, House, and governors. They've got blackmail material ready to roll. Anyone who gets out of line, they just crank out the blackmail material. That's exactly what happened to Spitzer. Now, I'm not saying he's a saint or any of the people they out. Traficant is another example of that. They somehow cross the big boys. And when they do that, they get hounded out of office. If they're not corrupt individuals, they simply get killed.
There's another. If I can interject again, there's another program. I don't know if it's Dateline NBC that does this. It's one of these offshoot programs where they have a guy that goes into a house and he's hanging out in one of the bedrooms or the kitchen or the dining room, someplace out of sight.
Oh, that's terrible! I know the show you're talking about.
And the victim. The victim, I call it.
They entrap people.
Yeah, they're entrapping people who have met girls.
Teenage girls in the internet.
No,
right.
This is a confederate, a plant that's pretending to be a 13-year-old, or maybe it is. I don't know. But they have these. They have law enforcement outside, ready to pounce on this guy as he leaves. But they let him come in the house. Some of these guys are stupid enough to take their clothes off. They bring a box of candy or flowers as a gift, and maybe their intention is just to have some company, you know.
Yeah.
But they lead you to assume that there's going to be a crime committed,
right?
And that they're preventing this crime. When all in all, isn't there a procedure for this? Isn't there an official investigation, like a grand jury investigation, that goes on when they're going to, indict somebody in this? This is planned. This is plotted out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know.
It strikes me as being extremely unconstitutional behavior, but there's a great deal that's being done by law enforcement that's complete violation.
And I'm not defending the individual that would be preying upon an underage person, be it a boy or a girl. But what they don't tell you, why don't they do that kind of sting on the politicians?
Oh.
You see? Or on the banks. Why aren't they doing those kinds of stings on the corruption, you see?
Right.
They want to give us this impression that law enforcement is doing its job, and I'm not saying they're not in this case, but I question the methodology being used, the legitimacy of it to be used in that way. I suppose they say, well, we're the law, we can do it however we want, we have the evidence. Well, there should be a procedure, but they're showing this, to me, it's propaganda. It's showing us how this is done, as if the media can be trusted.
Yeah, I think
it's building a false
trust. It is done for the reasons you're saying, and I'm saying that it's a way to garner let's say, helpful publicity. NPR Radio Weekly has, as of course, supposedly a guest, 1 or 2 hours a week, the police chief of Los Angeles. They just recently replaced the old one, a guy named Bratton, with a new one, a guy named Beck. And it's a propaganda hour. It's a no cost propaganda hour for the L.A. police force. And you know, NPR couches this as if it's somehow, I don't know, news, or it's in the community's interest, and it's a propaganda hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a way to put out their cover stories about this action or that action, in which very often, you know, the L.A. Police, first, there's entirely too many police on the L.A. police force. They were building, a guy named Villaraigosa became mayor a few years ago. They wanted to add 5,000 additional men to the police force. Now, why are they doing this? Well, because the federal government is trying to militarize all police forces around the country, and they want to get them under federal control, a federal aegis. So what they do is they offer them these programs in which they get funding, money, U.S. taxpayer money, go into
tasers and
tasers, equipment and training. They bring them out to there's a Blackwater facility where a lot of these guys have gone through training. There's FBI facilities. They want to integrate the federal let's call it law enforcement apparatus with local and state law enforcement. Now, this is not the way the country is set up. We intentionally have a city police force, a county police group, county sheriffs, state police, and federal FBI and DIA and all that for a reason. They're separated for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the power structure to be agglutinated into one large mass organization, which is what they're trying to affect.
They're militarizing it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's called communism. People just don't know what the communist totalitarian state is. It's a police state, and that's where we're moving in this country. And that's why people simply have to wake up and get busy countering the agenda and to stop being dismissive of the very real treason that's taking place all around us. The guy who's pretending... I'm sorry.
I was just going to make a point, because something in the speech came up, and I'm repeating myself in a sense, but, you know, it's this promise that every citizen is going to be able to get an education. They're going to be able to go to college, and they're not going to be broke. Well, how is that possible now? If the costs are so high, how is it all of a sudden that they're able to reduce the costs? And keeping that in mind, the underlying theme here is certification. You see, they're putting people into the system, giving them the hope that they can become part of the system, that they can be monitored, that they can be regulated, that they can be controlled and brainwashed, because you're going to go to the school that actually is going to be receiving those funds, and trust me that they will direct the money to the failing organizations, or the organizations that facilitate the hedge funds and the derivative structure, that foundation that's already set up.
Yes.
It's more smoke and mirrors. And
right.
And it leaves people with the false impression that something is being done for them, when in reality, the way it's already set up, it's for their benefit, not for the people's benefit.
Yes.
It's to facilitate all this illegal activity.
Yes.
You don't, we're talking about a criminal element here.
Yes.
They don't stop being criminals because they say that they're going to give us something.
Yes. I would like to clarify something for listeners and people who are listening to this currently as we're doing the show, or for people who might hear it as a taped archive. You have done a lot of good research work, and there is a huge, huge story about theft of real estate right under the feet of the American public that the public is simply unaware of. It's a huge story. You're undoubtedly going to write more about it. You've included portions of the story in your Wantagate series of articles, but I know you'll be doing much more because it needs to be understood. You know, if people can't easily understand the plot, in other words, if it's a simple plot, man wants money, takes gun, goes into a bank, says, stick them up, put the money in a bag, it's understandable. It's robbery, right? Because we can see the action, we can see who the culprit is, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But what all governments do, our federal government, our state government, our city government, now this does, that's not to say that every person involved in government is dishonest. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that there's large corrupt elements in local, state, and federal government around this country. Why? Because they see to it that the people who are, quote, I'll put quotes around this, win elections are usually people who play ball with the corruption. You simply won't get the backing. You won't get the money. You won't get the money boys behind you if you're a straight arrow. It doesn't work that way. You know, straight arrows maybe in some instances, if they really work hard, will get elected at the local level, mayor, for instance. And if they try to go higher, there's a wall there. There's a wall that they'll never be explained to them. But it's because he is honest is the reason he can't go higher, because they only want their own ilk to cooperate with them and to play the game. So I think you might have seen an instance of that in your own town there. You had a mayor who I suppose was something of a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct? And she just lost her office a couple months ago.
She built up a surplus of $2 million in the general fund.
Yeah.
And repaired city streets and repaired the infrastructure of the city and is now being accused of being totally irresponsible by her replacement, who was the former service director during a period in which they removed all the financial records upon their exit from office.
Oh, okay.
You know,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And there are many other things, but, you know, we're about out of time, so I won't even go into that on tonight's show. But I can tell you that the corruption has reared its ugly head again, you see. It hasn't stopped, and this mayor fought against a city council that was determined to ruin her job performance and failed at doing so.
Yes.
Okay. And yes. It's certain that there was election corruption. There's no right. doubt about it. Okay. And that will come out eventually. It's not even my job to do that. But
yeah. But I'll just wrap up this notion that sort of the theme of what I'm talking about. The people of this country need to spend a lot more time reading and looking at so-called conspiracy theories or conspiracy-type websites or anti-New World Order websites, because, I can't speak for all of them, and there are many on the Internet, thousands, probably tens of thousands. I can only, account for the material that I put up on my website. But you're going to get a far greater, more accurate dose, I should say, of reality on such websites than you're going to get certainly from mainstream or from even the people who, want to pretend that they're in the middle of, try and expose the truth about what's going on in the country. The best example I can think of, just an This unbelievable, unending propaganda is NPR. National Public Radio, I call it National Propaganda Radio, is the best example I can think of a slick conditioning operation. I listen to it all the time. I'm very familiar with all the hosts, the names of the shows, the type of guests they have on, and they have nothing but an unending stream of Illuminati mouthpieces claiming to tell you the story, the real story about this or that, and it's in most cases far from the real story. So when it comes to Haiti, for instance, you're getting the cover story. You'll have people like Bill Clinton, who played a very big role in helping to keep Haiti impoverished during his administration, who is set up to be the envoy, and he's got his Clinton Foundation to collect money from a inside job. The earthquake was not a natural event. We can argue whether it was nukes or HAARP or other technology yet unknown to us, which is what one person was indicating to me, who might be right. It certainly was not a natural event. It was intentionally triggered to create the scene that we have. I was telling you just a day or two ago that the last count I heard, there's now 19,000 U.S. troops either in Haiti or stationed in ships right off the coast of Haiti. You saw how they, just like with Katrina, there's this incredible foot dragging to get immediate relief to the victims. Why are they dragging the feet? Why is there this bottleneck? Why are they turning planes away and forcing them to drive into the country from Dominican Republic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Why are they giving top priority to, let's say, the equipment, men, supplies, and food for U.S. troops, for instance, in delaying or staving off the arrival of food meant for the people? Why isn't the distribution more substantial? The people who are getting food now, it's a couple weeks after the fact, they're getting a candy bar. It's just a small amount of food, just carries them for that one day, no substantial amount. Why is that? Intentional. They want those people to die in large numbers. That's why they were dragging their foot with all their... Remember Hurricane Andrew? The media reported somewhere between 35 and 59 people had died. That's not true at all. At least 5,500 people died, over 5,000. It might have been as many as 10,000.
Two days ago, CNN reported the American military death toll in Iraq up to date is 4,353.
Holy God. That's unbelievable.
Okay.
Yeah, that number is so low. It's ridiculous. Many more men have died than that. It's probably, it could easily be over 20 to 25, easily.
Now, I can tell you this with a certainty, and I sense this, and I was informed that there has been an orchestrated rescue by our benevolent friends from points beyond,
yes,
of over 10,000 people. They have lifted buildings and freed these people who would have died.
Wow, that's really great to hear.
And I saw something. As much as I hate watching TV, I saw Anderson Cooper, who has been doing round the clock coverage, and I'm not saying he's not concerned about what's going on. He's certainly reporting about the tragedy of the immense loss of life. Mm-hmm. But they show him walking next to a collapsed building, saying it would take so long to remove this building that certainly the people underneath would die, and yet it was described to me that at least 10,000 buildings were levitated and people, large numbers of people, freed alive.
Wow. Well,
And I witnessed the food distribution. They had an airdrop or trucking in of it. You couldn't really see, but Someone was handing, there was a line of people, maybe 10 people standing there, and I saw two people get a bag of grain that they put on their head or over their shoulder and
right.
walked off with it. That's all they showed.
Wow.
Okay. That is to lead us to believe that these people are all being given food.
Yes.
Where do these people use the restroom? Where do they clean up? They have no home. They have
right.
no clothes.
Right.
They have no
yeah.
food.
Well, they're living in absolute squalor in the street.
You know, how, you know. But let's keep in mind that we have whole families for over, you know, for a couple of years now, just mm-hmm. in California alone, living in tents or living out in the wild someplace, struggling to survive because they've been evicted from their homes.
Oh, yeah.
And in many cases, their homes have been given to illegal aliens who have come into this country and just merely taken over the property.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, that's going on, too. Yeah, we have listeners, especially when I'm on with Drew Raines, we have there's a whole group of people in California that tune into the show and are telling us the things that are going on there. And you know, I'm not there, but I can go back to years ago when I was in California, and I can tell you about the corruption that I witnessed
mm-hmm.
when Daryl Gates was the police chief and took the battering ram and
right.
knocked down the doors of innocent victims
mm-hmm.
who were fraudulently accused of dealing drugs.
Right.
Whole families with children and these people's homes were trashed.
Right.
And then they, you know, it was sort of, it reminded you of the Untouchables movie when Elliot Ness busted the Canadian whiskey warehouse that
yep.
had parasols in mm-hmm. inside the grates
mm-hmm.
because
right.
they were tipped off because
mm-hmm.
of an insider,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the police department that knew that this bust was going to take place, you see.
Right.
So they embarrassed the investigators. I'm not saying that there aren't honest law enforcement people out there doing their job, but it seems that when we have these draconian methods being introduced to the public and conditioned, because the media puts this on film,
mm-hmm.
they film all of this, they're conditioning us to accept that this is the norm, that this is how you bring about justice, that this is how you fight crime.
Yes, actually, very good point. That essentially is the true purpose behind the long-running TV show called Cops.
Oh, yes.
John Coleman pointed out in one of his books many years ago, and I can absolutely agree with his assessment. It's not because of popularity or because it's a winner for the networks. Uh-uh-uh. That is a conditioning mind control operation in this regard. Those again, it's always very low-level people, you know, drunken people, disorderly conduct, drugged-out people, I suppose, domestic dispute, super low-level, quote, police enforcement routines. But what they want to acclimate the public to, and this is the point of the show, is they regularly, you know, walk all over the U.S. Constitution in the way they enter people's home, in the way they treat people, they shake them down. They want you to get you acclimated to think that this is perfectly normal, this is acceptable, and of course it's an absolute violation, but they want to desensitize us
mm-hmm.
to the restrictions of the enshrined in the Constitution, and they also want to desensitize you to violence.
It almost makes you think that these events are staged for those cameras. You know,
I don't know, but I do know that in terms of what just popularity, I suppose there's some segment that enjoys Cops. I find it too brutal. The way they mistreat people is off the chart, and of course it's always, you know, defenseless people, you know, who are in no position to.
Yeah.
If it's a big drunk guy or he's on drugs, he may once in a blue moon flail back, but that's hardly a concern when you have these, you know, half a dozen or more
mm-hmm.
cops pouncing on him, tasering him into submission. I mean, to me it's so offensive to to watch that. I don't watch TV anymore since they changed over to digital, but I didn't watch it much, but except once in a blue moon, you know, just to see what's going on.
And Ken, I'm not paying attention to the clock, but
we
do have to wrap the show. I want to give you the opportunity to give out your website and encourage people to go there and read the mountain of information that you have.
Yeah, thank you.
Mount Everest.
Yeah. Actually, I had a computer glitch that's has prevented me to upload information to my website since actually December 23, but I'm just getting to the point now in which I'm going to resolve that, and I'll be able to start uploading stuff. But
tell me about
there's plenty of info there. You don't have to get the latest story to. There's plenty to read and see. It's educate-yourself.org, educate-yourself.org, and there's many very interesting topics that if you invest the time to read it. Many people do tell me they've read the whole site. That's a lot of reading.
I don't even know if I've read half of it. And
well, I'm surprised. There's a great deal of reading there, and they tell me, and it's very gratifying to hear this. It made a big difference in their understanding of what's going on in the world. The reality is much closer to what are being accused of conspiracy websites are putting up than anything you're getting from mainstream. That's for sure. Okay, I'll stop. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I just want to add one thing here in closing out. There seems to have been a massive flurry of Dwight Eisenhower articles coming out since I released my research. The first was 12 hours of research in one day. I think it was November the 30th, and I came out with my first piece on this birth certificate controversy.
Yes.
And, of course, the attacks became personal, not based on the facts, but personal. And I've got more facts to come out, actual documentation.
Right.
This is divine providence. I made the statement in the beginning of the article, something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing it, that it seems in these times that we don't have to go far to find the truth. The mm-hmm. truth has its own way of finding us.
Yes, it does.
And this is a confirmation of that statement.
Yep.
It's really going to get interesting because we're gaining insight into how these things are pulled off, how one infiltrates. And I might also add, regarding my SHRF research, and I think I mentioned this to you off the air in the last couple of days, that in just organizing my website, I'm doing a little bit of work on it, and I was searching for a document, and I actually have a document that backs up my claim that the SHRFs were from Durlich. There is actually an INS record with that statement in there from George H. SHRF.
Well, is this the name of a town in Germany?
Yes, it's south of Leipzig, and that was the area that I discerned the SHRFs were from.
Right, and the SHRFs are going under the name of what?
Bush.
Yes, George S. Bush's birth name was George.
Durlich became part of East Germany after World War II. Okay. So there is a. Is there any surprise that we have pictures of Mikhail Gorbachev pitching horseshoes with George H.W. Bush? You
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
On that property, actually.
Right.
That's where that occurred. There's a horseshoe pit that shows up in various pictures there.
Wow.
So when, you know, even in perusing my own research, I have a document that I easily add to that research. It's already mm-hmm. been substantiated.
Mm-hmm.
This is just another nail in the coffin, so to speak.
Yeah.
Proving that we're not making these things up, that there are records and that they are retrievable. And it's painstaking research. It really takes a long time. And I bring that up because I know how much effort you put into your own research, and you know, before you just post an article or come to some conclusions as to what's going on, you do your homework.
And well, thank you, Don. I just like to close out with one thought in this regard. We are all spiritual beings. Actually, we're light beings who are residing in a physical body, but we continue to exist after the physical body dies. We are all connected, too. I know I'm not telling you anything, but I just want to make it clear. All living beings are connected, and literally connected. Our minds are connected, our hearts are connected. So you hear the expression over and over again, we are one. It's true. It's true. Now, everything that has ever happened, or everything that ever will happen, as paradoxical as this sounds, already exists in a repository of knowledge called the universal mind. The more open you are to allowing your higher self, we all have a higher self, this is just a fragment of our soul matrix, the experience we're having here on Earth. It's a part of it, but it's not the whole deal. There is a larger part of us called the higher self that has access to this repository, this library of knowledge. It's called the universal mind. The more you communicate with your higher self, the more you ask to be given information, it will seep through from your subconscious mind into your conscious mind. Most of the things that I've tripped upon were, quote, accidental, or I just got this notion and I began to look here and there and I found corroborating evidence, and then it's really spirit guiding you from behind the veil. You just don't, you're not aware of it, at least in the beginning. I certainly wasn't. We all have this ability. We all can find out the truth on our own. We don't have to be told what it is. We can discover it from within.
You are your own expert. Yes.
That is the highway to the higher self. Keep that in mind, folks. Don't always be thinking you need to get some outside expert to tell you what's going on. Look within. Ask to be led to the truth about whatever it is you're looking for, and you're going to be very surprised. It comes very subtly in unexpected ways, but the truth will come to you if you merely ask for it. The universe is waiting to help you. You just got to ask.
Yeah. Well, a great way to end the show. I won't comment on it, because we'll just keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints. Here we are approaching the end of another month, so I know you'll be on in February paying us another visit.
Okay,
and I look forward to that. So I want to thank you. Continue the great work you're doing. Good luck getting your stuff up on your site. I'll tell you, I understand. You don't have to explain. A lot of us are going through the same types of issues and problems, but we come out a little bit better in the end. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting for us to find out that your mirror site was still up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next show you can share your experiences as to how you got your site back up.
Okay.
So, all right, Ken, I wish you a great evening, and with the soon approaching weekend, a great weekend as well.
You as well.
Okay, folks, that about wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints, and tonight's special guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Again, his website, educate-yourself.org. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Also, we want to mention bbsradio.com and Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Both Seth Hendrick and Don Newsom on the sound tonight. And most of all, our contributors, Ken and Gary. We want to thank Gary for his call. Ken for supplying some information about the Pastor Manning video on the long-legged Mac Daddy. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. join us again tomorrow night and Friday night for two more great shows this week. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.